In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Oh, excuse me? Hello. Good morning, Bay Area. I'm Evan Giddings. That's Dan Devone. Ken Luttrell behind the glass. Dude, it's already 9:01 and we're pump faking each other because I gotta say, just looking around the Bay Area last night, we got college football starting. We got the NFL starting this upcoming week.
Yay!
The Niners got their players locked in line outside of one big one named 71. But Dan Devone, it feels like things are finally starting to come into play. So before we jump all over each other, how you doing, my man?
I'm well. You're right. Now it suddenly feels like fall is in the air. Everything's intact. Giants suck, but I don't know if we necessarily need to detail that.
Whoa. First and foremost, you didn't see that their playoff odds improved?
Oh, wow. Come on, man.
It went from 1.1 to 1.3%.
How many games left in the season? 16, 15? They basically
don't care anymore.
Like 14-1. They got to run the table.
They got to run the table and hope that everyone else falls off a cliff. Yeah, exactly. There we go. There's your Giants content for the day. Evan Giddings and Dan Devone rocking with you night to noon, as always, on 95.7 The Game. Look, I think there's a lot of different things that we can get into over these next 3 hours. I think there's some NBA stuff I want to run by you specifically with Steph Curry. We got to talk about our puff piece. Apparently, the people are tuned in to a gripping and riveting conversation from a couple weeks ago. We got to get into some of Dan Devone's favorite personalities that have been, I don't know, like brought back to life apparently by college football. You're a big Johnny Manziel fan. I know you got thoughts on what Pat McAfee did last week. But before we get into all the fun stuff, Dan, we do have to do some of the nitty gritty. And that is get your thoughts on what the news was 2 days ago, which is the 49ers finally bringing an end to this entire saga of Brandon Ayuk potentially being or not being a Niner. He is, and he will be for the next 4 years, getting 120 M's.
I'm just going to lay down an edict right now. I refuse. I feel like I need the podium, like I need to be at the RNC or the DNC, the Democratic National Convention.
He's going
to
go Steve Kerr on us?
One of those things where I just want to captivate everybody's, on both sides of the aisle, everybody's attention, that I, the kahuna, Dan Devone, refuses to talk any more contract with one Brandon Ayuk. Can't do it. Remember Mike Singletary back in the day? Can't do it when it was Vernon Davis. Won't do it. I don't want to hear about who won, who lost. Did the 49ers pay too much? The 30 mil a year puts him in this bracket. I cannot do it. I mean, if you want to call, if you want to message, you got to direct all those things to my man, Ev. Ev, I'm sure, would be more than happy to pull that back and go blow for blow with you. I am done. It is over. Now we can talk football. Now we can talk about him lined up on the outside against Sauce Gardner or DJ Reed or whoever it is, and we can get into X's and O's and talk some damn football, because it ain't my money at the end of the day, and let's just tee it up and play ball. I do not, and I cannot talk about that contract any longer.
Well, it is funny, because there's a couple of details that leaked out about the contract yesterday, Dan, that I do want to dig into.
Oh, see? Well, Ken? Are you doing anything for the next hour? Because you and Ev can have at it, man.
I'm here.
Talk to him.
I think I'm just going to do anything possible to push your buttons for these next 3 hours. No, but seriously, though, I think, all right, so you're tired of talking about it. But,
well, let's get it out of the way. Who won on that thing?
I mean, I don't really care who won, to be honest. I mean, the player, all right, he got $120 million.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a win no matter how you slice it, no matter how long you're getting paid for, what the guaranteed money is. But basically, it essentially comes down to a 3 year, $76 million investment. Like, that's the guaranteed money. That's what Ayuk is. That's what he's made for himself. And then the Niners, you know, have an out after 3 years. I don't know, Dan. Was there any part of you that wondered why it took so long?
And why
we had to talk about it for as long as we did?
I think Brandon Ayuk, as I understand it, that same deal was on the table August 10th? Reportedly.
August 10th, August 12th, August 13th. You know, that to me is the PR game. If you're talking about trying to win a deal, that is, to me, I don't know if it's right. I don't know if it's correct. You know, I'd like to think that Adam Schefter and Dana Rossini of The Athletic are two individuals that are professionals and, you know, trustworthy news sources. But that is the Niners trying to basically say that this deal was something that Ayuk wouldn't give into. That basically, like, we stood our ground and that we didn't lose. To me, that is them trying to tell us that they didn't lose the deal, which is something about this contract. If there's anything that I don't care about this contract, it's who won and who lost.
When you think about it, in this offseason, there are two franchises that have been really similar as far as dealing with their players. And I would never associate John Lynch, who I think is a good CEO at the end of the day. He toes the line. He's the adult in the room. Kyle Shanahan could be a bit emotional. But really, when you think about it, as pragmatic and as logical as the 49ers and as smart as their front office can be, they and the Dallas Cowboys were really similar in the way they handled their players this offseason. And Jerry Jones, to me, is a buffoon. I've said to you repeatedly, he's just a smart businessman. I take that back. I mean, he's printing money.
Do you think he remembers that?
It may be an article tomorrow. Just stay tuned.
Oh, yeah. We got to figure out who this ghostwriter is for Saturdays on the game. If you're tuned in right now, call in. I don't know what kind of software he's using to transcribe all this stuff. I mean, the amount of junk that comes out of our mouth.
Yeah.
I don't know how he figures it out. But
I think the Dallas Cowboys and the 49ers are really similar in the way they handled their players. CeeDee Lamb came in just days before Brandon Ayuk. Dak Prescott is still out there, and so is Trent Williams. And it's just peculiar because I think, and I give Lynch and company a lot more credit than I do that of Jerry Jones when it comes to handling your business, so to speak. But it's the Detroits, it's the Philadelphias that lock up their players well before any of this nonsense. So I'm just curious, from a Niners perspective, who are just so smart about everything else, why they are so similar like that of the Dallas Cowboys, who I do not think are very smart when it comes to Jerry Jones and handling these sort of things. But yet, the two mirror one another when it comes to signing players and having to take this long to do it.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I mean, look, we had Brian Baldinger on yesterday morning of the NFL Network, and here's what he had to say when asked. I asked him personally. I was just like, dude, who won this deal?
I believe that everybody wins. John Lynch said he wanted to keep Brandon Ayuk. I'm sure Kyle Shanahan never wanted to lose him, but he understands the business side of things. I think the winner of the deal, honestly, are the 49ers and everything that goes with it, whether it's Jed York, 49er fans, whether it's Brock Purdy. The 49ers win because not every team can figure out how to structure these deals where you can keep all of your great players. Most teams can't do it. Most teams don't have the wherewithal or the billings to do it. The fact that they drafted well in key spots and they've been able to keep those players, that's a testament to the 49ers in the front office.
Well, that's true. They've been able to keep just an unbelievable amount of talent on this roster, and they've been willing to pay for it. Like, in total cash, they will have paid close to $350 million for 2024. And that's tops in the NFL. To compare with the Dallas Cowboys, the Cowboys, I think, will be spending, assuming they don't invest in Dak Prescott, the lowest amount of cash in the NFL. So Jed York and the Niners have put their money where their mouths are. And the one thing that I do have, I don't know, just a sense of, Dan, is that this is not the last time that they can do that, but that the train eventually will come to a halt if and when they pay Brock Purdy his massive sum of money. So I'm glad that they paid Brandon Ayuk because I think he keeps the Niners at a really, really high level. I think he's, you know, one of the top 10 wide receivers in football. Last year, he was a top 5 receiver, statistically speaking. But it does align the Niners for a last dance. Like, this is their last run with this current group of ridiculously talented players. And that's why there's more importance now in this season, perhaps, than ever before. And that's saying a lot for a team that's been to four NFC championship games the last 5 years.
Yeah, I think this is them saying, this is the last time we can do this, because you'll go after Brock Purdy, most likely you're going to sign Purdy, whatever that number is, $55, $60 million, but you're not bringing back Talanoa Hufanga, and you are not bringing back Charvarius Ward, and you're not bringing back D'Amador Lenore, and you may not bring back Deebo Samuel. So this is it in terms of signing everybody, because you just simply can't afford it. There's just not enough money in the till to go around. So this is sort of like Sean McVay a couple of years back, where you just push all your chips in the middle of the table and saying, we're living for today. I don't want to hear about, can we afford this player next year? There's no guarantees that any of us will be here tomorrow, let alone next year. Super Bowls are hard to come by. They've been so elusive for the 49ers. As much grief as I give Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, it's been a while. It's been a minute since the 49ers. They've been to Super Bowls, but they haven't won one since the 1990s as well. So when your window's ajar and you have an opportunity, the hell with everything else. Just go for it today. And I think at the end of the day, that was sort of the collective mentality.
Well, and just financially speaking, like this Brandon Ayuk deal is essentially a 3-for-76. I mean, that's what he's guaranteed. And the Niners have an out in 2027, which I think is interesting because that's about the time that Purdy's big money is going to kick in. Assuming he gets paid, Brock Purdy this year will make, I don't know, $965,000 in his, you know, two-bedroom apartment in East San Jose, wherever he's living. And next year, no matter what he signs for, he's going to make about $1.1 million. Yep. You know, maybe he'll be able to get himself a third bedroom, maybe one less roommate. And then that's when the big payday kicks in. You know, 2026, maybe 2027 is when the big cap numbers start to come in. And that's around the time that Brandon Ayuk might be off the books. So the Niners have, I think, done a pretty nice job of, no matter who they've signed, of aligning these deals to their liking. So I think Brandon Ayuk, again, not to go back to winners and losers, I think they both won because Brandon Ayuk got the money that he wanted. I think he also got the respect that he wanted as one of the five $30 million AAV receivers in the NFL. He wanted elite, top-tier wide receiver, won money. He got the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. He's making $30 million, which Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, St. Brown, and A.J. Brown are all making. He's in that group, so he gets the respect. And the Niners also have been able to configure it to an extent where, even if this is a deal that goes south, which is possible, I don't know, maybe Brandon Ayuk has already played his best football, but even if it goes south, they've also set themselves up safely to get out of this deal at about the time they're going to have to pay their most important player.
When you talk about Brock Purdy's contract, that's really why we're at where we're at, because the very unique opportunity to have a quarterback with his potential and his talent level to be under team control in a rookie deal that's less than $1 million. Think about how rare that is. Think about how different it would be if it was any other quarterback. You're not signing any of these guys. And that's why when people want to get into the conversation of, well, he's not a top-tier quarterback, he's not as good as Patrick Mahomes, I can't even put him in the tier two. You know, I think Mike Sando in the Seattle Times came out with his quarterback tiering, and everybody who spends so much time and dividing the room as to whether he's good or legitimate or worthy of the $50 million or $60 million, is he a system quarterback? Who the hell cares? You have a talented quarterback who can execute Kyle Shanahan's offense to a T that is coming in on a rookie deal as Mr. Irrelevant. That's allowing you to do all of this stuff. Brock Purdy is where this all begins and ends. The fact that Brock Purdy is on the cheap for the next 2 years is why you have Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams and all of these other players and an opportunity to go for a Super Bowl. So just think how silly it is wasting your time on whether or not he's as good as Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert or fill in the blank. As long as he's good enough with what it is that you're able to bring back. Here's the other thing I would say when you talk about how both sides won, and Baldinger talking about how the 49ers as well as Brandon Ayuk won. That's true maybe right now, but if they get off to that slow start, lose to the Jets, they start 1-3.
Even if Ayuk plays poorly, let's say they beat the Jets, but Ayuk has one catch or two catches for like 7 yards.
This will all resurface. And so this idea that, oh, everybody's happy, the fact that he's into camp so late that this thing has been hanging around the locker room, and things have been sort of squirrely between the two, and you get off to a slow start, and maybe some of these losses early on in the season cost you that number one seed, well, you can look back to these negotiations and saying that's where we screwed ourselves.
888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone with you on 95.7 The Game, taking you up until noon here on Saturdays, as always. If you want to get in on the conversation, again, 888-957-9570. Shout out to our YouTube and Twitch chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, the Xfinity Mobile text line. Feel free to chime in. Be happy to read any comments. Get your calls on the air if you want to get in on it. I mean, to me, the question now is, what now with not necessarily just Brandon Ayuk, but with the San Francisco 49ers? You know, where has your mind shifted as a fan? Is it squarely 9 days away, Monday night, Levi's Stadium, 5:15 kickoff, Aaron Rodgers, the New York Jets? You know, what matters to you right now? Does it matter that a side won or lost? Does it matter how the contract is structured? Does it matter that Brock Purdy's contract is looming over this entire thing? Does it matter that these things might linger during the season? Does it matter that Trent Williams is still not here at this point, and that, according to Mike Garofolo of NFL Network, that they're not particularly close? You know, is that something that, I guess, I was curious, Dan, yesterday, I was with Shasky the past 2 days, but I was curious to see, once the deal was signed for Ayuk, if people's ire would be transferred, in a sense, to Trent Williams. I just look at him as like a package deal, almost, because I feel like the big fella is going to be in here one way or another, and they're going to, if they found a way to get the Ayuk deal done, I just feel like inevitably 71 is going to be in the house. And if there's a position and a player that needs less of a ramp-up period than anyone, I think it's probably Trent.
Yeah, I think there's a collective sense of confidence that this is going to get done. And the 49ers just simply are not that stupid. They're not going to go into a season against the Jets in that defensive line without Trent Williams. They know that. I mean, if you're going to lock up Brandon Ayuk and you're going for your Super Bowl right now, well, it just doesn't make sense not to get Trent Williams in camp. So he'll be here. And I think all of us sort of work under that assumption. I think that now it makes sense. This looks like a team, and we'll see. You have to stay away from injuries. I think the defense is really sort of a question mark in certain ways. On paper, tremendous players, and we can get into Nick Sorensen and company. But now it looks like a Super Bowl team. Again, do they get there? Who the hell knows? But now it all makes sense, because the idea of, and the conversations that have sort of dominated our show over the last couple of months, that we were going to cobble together this other wide receiver position with Jacob Cowling and a Pearsall, or maybe a Chris Conn. I mean, we were trying to convince ourselves of something that just was inferior. And now that Ayuk's on one side of the field, Debo in the slots, Jennings, you got Kittle lined up at a tight end, McCaffrey set up behind Brock Purdy. Now it looks like that team that everybody envisioned that can make another run into Super Bowl.
It's funny you brought up the wide receiver room, because this was something that I think it was Matt Barrows of The Athletic who was talking about. But one of the reasons why Shanahan and Lynch, I'm not sure if you heard them on Wednesday, this was before Ayuk signed, it was before the practice that he was expected to be at and then wasn't. And I think it kind of preceded really the final negotiations. But they sounded, to me, they sounded pretty pissed. They sounded pretty pissed at where Brandon Ayuk was or was not. And one of the reasons, Dan, I believe, and I know it might be a stretch, but I think it was because Ayuk might have cost them a player. Like, Ayuk was on the roster on cut day, and he was not practicing. and he was not in camp. So they kept him on the 53-man, which also meant that they kept seven wide receivers. This is a team that generally has five active on game day. So by doing that, someone like your sixth-round selection, Jerick Kingston, an offensive lineman, he gets plucked because you have to waive him. You can't keep him on the roster. There were multiple players that the Niners had claimed by other teams that they could not protect because Brandon Ayuk was occupying that roster spot. And so I think one of the reasons why they were angry at him was, yes, he wasn't practicing and they would like to have him in shape and be in camp and all the rest, but it's because he literally cost them a player. And that is the kind of residue that I don't think comes back to the forefront unless, to your point, he doesn't play well. But that's something that could linger. Like, that's something that I do think might stick with the coaching staff or with the front office. Not that Brandon Ayuk's a malcontent and not that he's a bad person, but the way that he forced the Niners' hand, whether he won or lost this deal, I don't care what side of the fence you fall on, the fact of the matter is I do believe the Niners also feel like he cost them a potential player. And that is important.
So did he cost them a player, or did the 49ers do that to themselves?
You can make that case.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the 49ers having to wait this long and using, now that suddenly we got a deadline, is before heads begin to roll, things get done. The season was looming. It's now days away, and you sign a contract. Like, that has been sort of their mode operandi over the last couple of years now, and I think that just simply has to change. I think the 49ers, in a lot of ways, made this bet. I mean, again, when I use Detroit and Amon-Ra St. Brown or Jefferson or Philadelphia, who annually locks up Hurts, A.J. Brown, they do that back in March.
Yeah.
And the 49ers wait until now, where you have this deadline suddenly now, is very, very much evident to everybody that finally things get done. And so while you can put this on Brandon Ayuk, I think at the end of the day, it might be the San Francisco 49ers that sort of create this whole mess.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that's why Shanahan and Lynch were pissed.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know, you could certainly criticize the way they do business. And it's funny to me, though, because I generally think about franchises in football. Like, the Eagles got stuff done early. They probably, I don't know if they saved themselves money, but they got deals done with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
And they kept two wide receivers in that building for their price. I don't think the Niners are any less of a franchise than the Philadelphia Eagles, though. But that's the way that they differ is how they do business. Because on paper, if I tell you that the Niners, each now of the last five off-seasons essentially, have paid and kept their homegrown top-tier talent. Maybe not last five off-seasons, but five players. You got Kittle, Warner, Debo, Bosa, and now Ayuk. All those guys are under lock and key. I'm assuming next summer Brock Purdy will follow. So it isn't as if they don't have a track record of keeping their guys. It's just a matter of when they get the deals done. So to me, it all depends on what you do on the field.
Yeah.
And the difference between this season and the last few off seasons, last year is probably the closest, but when you are top dog, when you are expected to win the NFC and anything less than a Super Bowl appearance, I wouldn't go as far as to say a Super Bowl title, but a Super Bowl, anything less than a Super Bowl appearance is going to be an unsuccessful season for this group. I mean, that's just the way that they have set things up. It's also, you know, a burden. I think that they believe that's a good thing because they have so much talent, Dan.
Yeah, I'm with you. But again, getting back to the comparison with Philadelphia, if they again get off to the slow start, and if it's attributed to this bit of a lingering or a hangover from this off season, then therein lies the difference between the two organizations. Now, I don't know what, you know, Philadelphia imploded a year ago despite starting 5-0. But, you know,
started 10-1.
Philadelphia doesn't necessarily have to worry about, you know, any of that. Because I think A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Hurts and all these guys have been in camp. And it's not something that you can point a finger at as being a potential reason and a cause and effect to the slow start. And there may not be any there to that argument, but you do create an opportunity, as people are want to do, to point a finger and saying, this is the reason why the 49ers got off to a slow start. You shot yourself in the foot for that number one seed in the first month of the campaign, and it's all because of fill it in. Is it Trent Williams? Is it Brandon Ayuk? So you just sort of leave yourself a little susceptible when you wait this long to get things done.
You put more pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, the expectations are a Super Bowl appearance. Heavy as the crown. But it doesn't mean that people don't want to wear it. You know, people are gunning for that crown. People have been gunning in the NFC for the Niners' crown for what feels like 5 or 6 years, really since they made that first Super Bowl run with Shanahan's team in 2019. They have been the crown jewel of the NFC. I realize that they haven't won a Super Bowl, but each and every year, it feels like, whether it's national media members, you hear players talk about the respect they have for the Niners, at least if they're not trash-talking. Everyone understands that they're top dog, and so do they. And so that's why this year is even more important than last year, because I don't believe that the talent that surrounds Brock Purdy, or the talent really that surrounds Kyle Shanahan, is going to be around next season. And so that's why I'm excited for the year, because if there's one thing that could erase all of the distractions and lingering contract hold-ins and hold-outs, it's winning football games, because I do believe that the Niners players, and this was something that I was, I don't know, a little iffy on. Like, I don't know how you felt about this, Dan, but do you think that this offseason that that a lot of 49ers are more concerned about getting paid than getting themselves set up for a Super Bowl run?
It could be the case. I think
I think they want both.
Yeah,
but.
I mean, no fault of the players, right? There's a reason why it's the not for long league. It's always about getting taken care of. So, yeah, I think. Well, at the end of the day, just to sort of answer your question, I think Kyle Shanahan and all the 49er players, maybe you have a meeting and just saying, I don't want to think about Brock Purdy's contract. I don't want to talk about windows being open. I don't want to talk about the future. We have a team that's good enough to beat the Jets. Let's just eat what's on our plate. Let's just be in sort of this in this insular mode, like where we're just in a vacuum. It's about winning a title. There's so much conjecture and talk about next year and windows being open. Just play some damn football and beat who's ever on the schedule that Sunday. Just play for today. We're so uber-focused on next year and re-signing guys and windows being ajar. How good is Brock Purdy? Who the hell cares? Just go out. You got everybody intact. Win your Super Bowl and forget it. All that other stuff will take care of itself. And you'll have enough time next offseason to go through the song and dance. But in terms of right now, the focus should be exclusively on beating the Jets.
See, I think one of the reasons, and we can get into this on the other side, the reason why they're in this position is, yes, it's the way they do business, it's who the Niners are, but it's also because they haven't broken through. I know we can't play that what-if game, but I'd be very curious to see how they'd approach this offseason if they had beaten the Chiefs, because I'm not so sure. Where are people at now? 888-957-9570 is the number. Brandon Ayuk is under lock and key. Trent Williams still is holding out for the San Francisco 49ers. 9 days away from kickoff. Monday night, 5:15 against the New York Jets at Levi's Stadium. All eyes are going to be on the Niners that night, and they hope that they'll have all their players available, ready to go. They do have one big one, their wide receiver one. He will be there, in all probability, on the field come week one against the Jets. Evan Giddings alongside Dan Devone. We roll on to the other side here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, Gil, when you say those radio announcers, you're excluding one Dan DeVoma Kahuna, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
We're talking about commitment, Dan. You gotta commit, okay? If you're gonna throw a pitch inside to Barry Bonds, you got to commit. If you're going to go for a Super Bowl, you have to commit. You have to commit to your players. You have to commit to your fans. You have to commit to your vision, okay? I'm sitting outside, we're talking with Ken, we're watching this documentary, and I'm telling you, there are three absolute truths in life. Death, taxes, and do not throw an inside pitch to Barry Bonds. You cannot do it unless you want to get taken out back to the woodshed.
Bing bang!
You forget just how good Barry Bonds was.
Man. Who forgets?
I do.
Sorry, that came off wrong.
Well, because you think about how good of a... I mean, you just think about him being a power guy, but he was just so... I'm surprised he didn't do better as a hitting coach. Actually, it makes sense that he didn't do well as a hitting coach, because he expected everybody. He was like, well, why can't you just hit that pitch to the opposite field? Expecting everybody to have his skill set. I heard was sort of the knock on him in Florida.
Well, the same reason why Bonds, to me, is not a very good hitting coach is the same reason why Mike Maddox, Greg's brother, is a better pitching coach than he is. It wasn't the same pitcher he was. But there's something about, again, what do we do? We're communicating.
Yeah.
It's about teaching. It's about extracting the best out of the person that you're speaking to about. Well, you know this. You're a public speaker. You talk. People pay you to, you know, enlighten them, essentially, Dan. Whether you're, you know, at Terminal One in a yoga studio somewhere, or whether you're in the Bahamas, or whether
Harvey
you're out Mel back.
Studio. You got to get to that terminal the next time you're flying at an SFO. Man.
Like, what was this? 2 weeks ago, we get done with the show. And, you know, Dan's an international man, or, you know, he's flying somewhere that is extravagant. And
let's go to New York. Going to the hood.
What, the hood up by Central Park? the hood on the Upper West Side? No, I'm just kidding. But he sends me a picture because what, your flight got delayed.
Yeah.
There's a yoga studio in Terminal 1.
How amazing is that? I'm telling everybody, if you get the opportunity, if you're going anywhere, if you're going to LA, going to Santa Barbara, just a quick little junket, if you get an opportunity to fly out of Terminal 1, they just did it. It's the Harvey Milk Terminal. It's like, seriously, it's like being in a 5-star hotel in Las Vegas. It's got all the shops and restaurants. And so I was early and I was walking around and there was welcome to the Terminal 1 yoga studio. I went inside. It was huge. There was no one there. They had all these mats. They had this nice music playing. I'm like, this works. This works.
That's so your kind of spot.
I got zen, you know, and I got centered. And also worked out the kinks in my back from sitting here for 3 hours talking to you, and got on my flight and felt like a new person. But just wait, can I get back to Barry Bonds for a second before I lose my train of thought?
This is your show.
This is why he was so good. Is that so? Aaron Judge, you'll hear most pitchers saying, I made a mistake. Came in with that fastball, or he knew he was guessing change. I got to be smarter than that. Barry Bonds is probably one of the few hitters where you could make your pitch and he still made you pay. It wasn't a mistake. Like, listen to Greg Maddux or any other pitcher would say, I made a good pitch, and he made you pay more often than not.
Well, that's because it might be your pitch, but Barry Bonds is one of the few players in the history of the game that if it's his pitch, it doesn't matter. Like, whatever pitch he's looking for is his pitch, and he's going to hit it. And he's probably going to hit it really hard. Like, we were discussing this yesterday. 2004, Barry Bonds had, I believe, 375 at-bats because 352 of them, the plate appearances, were either walks or intentional walks. He still hit 45 home runs that year and 360-odd ABs. That means that every single time he's at the plate, he's also not getting pitches that often that are very good.
Yeah.
But every time that there's a pitch that is his, he's going to drive it with authority. That's why, like, I saw a lot of conversation this past week about where someone like Shohei Ohtani ranks, and Aaron Judge is having an unbelievable season. His OPS is like 1,200. He's on pace for 60-odd homers. I think he would be, what, the fourth or fifth man in recent memory to have multiple 60-homer seasons. The last guy to do it was Sosa, you know. But that would be Bonds' fourth-best offensive season right now, what Aaron Judge is doing. I mean, that's just how unbelievable he was at the plate. Like, Barry Bonds, Shohei Ohtani might be a pitcher, and I've thought about this a lot, but Barry Bonds is, his offensive capability puts him in such a different stratosphere that he doesn't even need to play the field to still be the greatest hitter I've ever seen.
Well, you're right. Think about that.
Maybe even greatest player.
2004. So if Barry Bonds is coming to the plate, I don't care if there's runners on or if he's leading off an inning, you're either walking him or you're pitching around him. And maybe he gets one pitch per at bat. That's a quality pitch. And he never missed it.
Yeah.
Like he would square it up, you know? Which is, really, when you think about it, it's just so incredible back in the day, the sort of hitter he was. Speaking of baseball, two things I want to get into. Who's your MVP? Shohei or Judge? And secondly, we've talked baseball from time to time here. Are you going to piss me off by just saying Shohei for the sake of Shohei?
No, I'm going to let you know that there's two MVPs.
Yeah, I said Shohei or Aaron Judge. Don't give me a third. I'm not. Come on.
No. I'm saying they play in different leagues. So there's an AL and an NL MVP.
Oh, no.
They're both going to be MVPs.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Sorry, Ken was looking at me like, should I tell him?
Well, who's better this year? How's that?
Who's better? That's a good question.
Wait, before we do that, because I know I'll forget to do this, we talk baseball from time to time. Are we ever going to throw love to the Kansas City Royals?
1.3%. The math is still there for the Giants. The playoff odds. What about the Kansas City Royals? So,
lost 106 games last year. They're like two games from the number one seed in the American League.
It is the greatest turnaround in sports that no one's going to be talking about here because it's in Kansas City. Really across all of baseball. I think it's because, number one, the market. Number two, all right, and I hate to put you on the spot. Name me five Kansas City Royals.
Bobby Witt Jr., Bobby Witt Jr., Bobby Witt Jr.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I can name their closer currently, Lucas Erceg, because he was a member of the Oakland Athletics. Seth Lugo's been their ace this year. Cole Reagans has been an up-and-coming lefty who throws cheddar bobs. Bobby Witt, obviously. Salvador Perez.
Salvador Perez is still there.
Yeah, he's still on the team. Still hitting tanks. That guy was, God, actually, yeah, literally 10 years ago was when he was in the World Series taking an L to the San Francisco Giants. He was just a young pup back then, Dano.
And he wasn't even young back then. I want to say he had been in the league for a minute.
Yes, he has. I think he's in his, is he 36 or 37 now? I'm not too sure. This is from the 707 Xfinity Mobile text line. Not a bad idea. They should have made a Bonds rule. You can't walk/intentionally walk the same player consecutively or they take an extra base instead of a single. Yeah, that would have, can you imagine? Even without a Bonds rule, he still was the greatest I've ever seen. And that's why, so if you're talking about Shohei, Judge, to me, this season, Judge would get the nod because he plays center field at, an average level, and he's still a respectable defender. But as far as, excuse me, a player that just can take over a game, I mean, Shohei has every single right to be in that category because he's also probably going to be the first guy to steal 50 bases and hit 50 home runs in the one season, of course, that he took off pitching. I mean, he's going to be back on the bump next year, and that's why he's a player that is unlike anybody. And in fact, it's funny. I was thinking about him last segment when we were talking about Brock Purdy because, and people have said this a lot. I don't know why it gets overlooked. Brock Purdy is not the best deal in sports. He's the second best contract in sports. The best contract in sports is Shohei Ohtani. And it's because of the number that I'm holding up. These amount of M's that he's making this year. $2 million. He's going to make $2 million next year. He's going to make $2 million the year after that. And then in 2037, is when his deferred money kicks in.
That's pretty amazing.
Shohei Ohtani makes $2 million, and he's going to be an MVP in a year he didn't even pitch.
$2 million contractually for the Dodgers, but another, what, $150 in terms of endorsements.
Wow, dude!
Well, yeah, but I'm saying against their books, like,
no, yeah,
we talk all the time in football about how you can, you know, you can manipulate the cap, and Brandon Ayuk is going to count 3.5 this year, and then 7 next year, even though he's making $120 million. Well, the Dodgers just reconfigure their cap with a guy who's willing to take deferred money.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. He backloaded the end of that deal. That's really incredible. But Aaron Judge, I think we got to salute this dude. And I know it's sort of like, he's so good. But when you think about...
Well, he's been carrying Volpe all year.
Well, come on now. Come on now. But when you think about where we're at, what's the collective batting average? We can look this up, but I want to say the batting average right now, the medium, the average batting average has got to be, what, low 240s? I mean, this is such a down year offensively. I mean, they haven't seen an average like this since they lowered the mound back in the 1960s. I mean, the offensive output is just non-existent. It has become a pitcher's league once again, and it's strategic baseball. We're now, stolen bases are back into the game. Thank God. And this dude is walking down 62 in a season like this. This isn't the steroid era, man. This season is an outlier. And this guy is eyeing 62, which I still consider the record. I don't go 70s with Sosa, McGuire, and those boys. I mean, I just think that you have to recognize where we're at in terms of offense or the lack thereof, where it's anemic across the board, and this guy doing what it is that he's doing this year.
Aaron Judge, you're saying?
Aaron Judge.
Okay, so I do think that there is some impact from having a player like Soto in the lineup. And honestly, Aaron Judge is having a better season, but Juan Soto, he to me is the toughest out in that order. And
who will be a giant next year?
A Tokyo Giant?
I don't want to hear any of that. Like, Soto is not coming to the San Francisco Giants.
Dude, he's not coming back to the West Coast.
He may. He's not coming to the Giants. Like, let's just stop that right now.
Where would he go on the West Coast, you think?
Padres? Oh, he already been there.
Well, I actually saw, I think it was Bleacher Report put out a possible destination spot for Blake Snell, like odds right now. Number one is San Diego. I think the Giants are fifth. Like, the Texas Rangers were higher than them. Well, the Mets are on every single list because they're just going to pay everybody. Ken, by the way, how much money does Steve Cohen have?
Huh?
Isn't he the owner?
Sorry, I was channeling my inner Evan Giddings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got like $16 billion.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Absolutely insane.
So he's going to break off something for Soto if he can.
I mean, they're going to let Pete Alonso go probably this year, regardless of what, you know, how many homers he hits. It doesn't matter. But yeah, you're probably going to, you know, let him walk and then bring in Soto. Or honestly, I heard something on The Fan a couple of days ago. Someone suggested, you know, if you let Soto walk, go after the pitching that's going to be around next year. Corbin Burns, you know, talking about Snell, but Corbin Burns is going to be a highly touted free agent. And based on what he's done in Baltimore this year, I would go get him.
The one thing he can't do is hold a guy on. I swear to God, you, Dan Devone, could steal second base off of Corbin Burns. This is the slowest man to home plate I've ever seen.
He's the perfect Met then, because that's what we do. We don't hold anybody on.
Worse than John Lester?
He's up there. John Lester with me behind home plate. I mean, that's basically what we're looking at. No, but I think, and it's funny, actually, because you mentioned a guy. That'd be the dude that I would go after around the San Francisco Giants. It's Pete Alonso.
Oh, that'd be a nice
fit. That would be the guy. If you can get him.
He could hit in this park, too. Like, every time he's come here, he's definitely hit a few out.
Well, so did Soler, but
Pete Alonso in a shortstop, and then you slide Fitzgerald over to second.
I like Fitz at short, but they got to get another bat, that's for sure. 888-957, huh?
The Met talk, just for a second, when you're talking about Steve Cohen's money, you know, are you a Bill Maher fan at all?
Well, whatever. Not anymore.
His podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell me. We'll get back to Bill Maher.
We'll talk during the break.
But his podcast, I'm telling you, man. Like, that, I think it's called Club Random. where he just sits there and drinks and gets stoned with his guest. There is, like, the best 90 minutes of entertainment was him interviewing Quentin Tarantino. They are so stoned, like, an hour into this thing, but it's such poignant conversation. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Anyways, he was...
I respect it.
A minority owner of the New York Mets.
Tarantino?
Bill Maher. Mm. With the Wilpons. And he was saying that during the pandemic, I forget the name for it, but they would go around and like, okay, you're an owner, and typically we're cutting you big checks, but not during this unprecedented time where there's this, you know, this disease that's preventing anybody from coming to the stadium. You've got to spend more money. He's like, this is the biggest ripoff. Like, I've never lost this much money. It was the worst decision of my life. And then along came Steve Cohen, who's like, you know, Steve Cohen, who he prays to every day, just saved the day for all of those guys and just wrote the biggest check, and they all walked away, the Wilpons and the Bill Maher's of the world. But I digress.
Well, that is what I think a lot of people are hoping the Giants do at some point, is just write the biggest check. Yeah. Hopefully somebody will take it. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Gittings, Dan DeVone, Saturdays on the Game here, 9 to noon as always. And you know what? Let's go to the phone lines, Dan, because we got one of our favorites on the line. One Filmo Mike wants to talk about Major League Baseball. What's up, Mike?
Yo, what's popping?
Not a mucho.
Y'all sound lit this morning.
What do you mean, Mike?
Brandon Ayuk signing. Y'all sound happy. You sound a little bit. Sometimes you wake up, Evan, and you sound a little bit groggy, but you sound chipper. Dan DeBone always sound like, he always sound hella weird. But anyway, I had a question for y'all real quick. I had a question. Usually I don't ask a question. Usually I delegate what type of weed y'all smoke. But do y'all partake?
From time to time.
Okay. Evan, you take me as a old school. You probably used to smoke cherry pie back in the day, if you remember that strain. Now Dan does yoga. He definitely smokes the old school Acapulco Gold. He smoked like $5 weed. Like, he don't smoke good weed. He smoked the what do you call it? The shake. Dan definitely smokes shake.
It's anyway, got stems in it, Mike.
Well, now, he take out the stems. He ain't crazy. You feel me? He's very smart. But, you know, he don't want the full effect, so he just do the shake. Anyway, though, it's good shake, though. Hey, baseball is very...
Bro, just can we clarify things, Filmo? You got me wrong. I'm Papaya Kush. Kush? Is it Papaya Kush? Papaya
yes.
Kush the whole way, brother.
Oh, okay, my bad, Papaya Kush. That's okay, you like the Hawaiian, okay. Let me know, he got the little accent. Hawaiian's got the accent. Anyway, though, my bad, I hate to ramble. But nah, baseball's a lot more interesting this year for whatever reason. But I said this a while ago. The stars of the 90s, you had people like Albert Bell, like... The minimals, you had Gary Sheffield, that Greg Maddux, Doc, I haven't seen it, but I'm going to start watching it. I've seen a couple clips. It's going crazy. Barry Bonds is one of my favorite athletes of all time. I don't know why we don't praise him more. The greatness of Bonds is crazy. He just got accepted to the Pittsburgh Pirates Hall of Fame, and I looked at his numbers there, and it was like, his numbers there was crazy. And then to do what he did for his hometown team is unbelievable, man. Like, Bonds is like we had Curry, you know what I'm saying? We had, like, Bonds may be one of the, like, as far as skilled perfectionists, he's up there damn near with Jordan to me, man, in my opinion. I mean, I'm just speaking from a fan perspective and a local home guy. Like, Griffey was raw. He kept getting injured. But Bonds, it was something different about him, man. And then to compare him with Shohei, when Bonds from 1999 to about 2006, if Bonds was at bat, you stop what you were doing and you're watching Bonds' at bat.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you, Mike. Like, he's an athlete that makes you reevaluate the sport. Like, he makes you reevaluate how you watch the game. I think Curry does that. I think LeBron has done that for me. I think in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes is someone that does that. Honestly, a guy on Monday night, the Niners will see in 9 days at his peak. Aaron Rodgers did that for me when I watched him throw a football. He made me rethink what was possible in the sport just because of the natural gifts that he had. But Philbo Mike is, he's right. It's not just even pre, I should say during that stretch from 99 to 2006, because the Xfinity Mobile text line brings up an interesting point. Like, the Bonds we're talking about is steroid Barry, right? We're talking about a guy that was a freaking cheat code, but he was still a first ballot Hall of Famer prior to that.
Oh,
he basically traded in his gold glove for more home runs.
Killer Bees, him and Bobby Bonilla back in the day. Remember that?
He won 7 gold gloves in 8 years.
That's the one shame. Is when you saw him in Pittsburgh, or even in his early days with the Dodgers, or excuse me, with the Giants, against the Dodgers, I remember vividly one play that he made out there in left field. But he was so, I mean, just physically, he was so much more fluid. And as a left fielder, how he would just go gap to gap. And his arm was never strong, but he had, you know, accuracy was. And then much like, do you remember, go look at video of Sammy Sosa when he came up with the Rangers. He was a beanpole. And he, too, had a cannon for an arm and was just so much fun to watch out in the outfield. And then both of those guys, once they started sticking that 6-inch needle in the arse, they suddenly couldn't move. And, you know, they became cyborgs. You know, they forfeited all of that defense and that grace and fluidity and watching those guys run. Barry Bonds and anybody out there from Sarah High School, hit us up at 888-957-9570. The stories I heard about this guy as a wide receiver, like Jerry Rice-esque, and had opportunities to play at that position at the collegiate level. Just this thin guy who could go out and get it on a jump ball and outrun defenders. And then suddenly he became this beast out in left field that, you know, couldn't bend over, essentially.
Well, he didn't have to. All he had to do is reach the other part of the plate. That's about as... No, like, Barry Bonds is... He's ridiculous. And just like watching Shohei hit is ridiculous. Watching Aaron Judge hit a baseball is ridiculous. And really what we're talking about, and I do want to transition back to the Bay Area a little bit, because we have seen players, not just Bonds, but also there's one who plays for the Warriors right now. These are blank check players. These are players that when it's time to pay them, you give them the max and you give them whatever they want. And there, I think we overlook how many of those players there actually are, because this entire offseason for the San Francisco 49ers has been about, well, just pay this guy. You know, right now it's Trent Williams. Well, just give him what he wants. Give him a blank check. How many players actually deserve a blank check? That's what I'm going to move into on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. I do think there are blank check players out there, and there are some that play in the Bay Area. And there was one that got a blank check not too long ago. But how many actually deserve it, and what is a blank check player to you? Evan Giddings and Dan Devone here on 95.7 The Game. We'll take a quick break. Be back on the other side right here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And, of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.